For 6 weeks, beginning today, the second lesson at Sunday Mass will be taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And that sequence would have been 7 weeks, except that the solemnity of the Assumption falls this year on a Sunday, and so interrupts the regular lectionary cycle. During these 2 months, please read and study all of the letter to the Ephesians, which runs to about 4 pages in most Bibles. The city of Ephesus was founded about 1,000 years before the birth of Christ and was located on the western coast of what is now Turkey. Ephesus was the site of a magnificent temple to the pagan Greek goddess Artemis, which was completed about 550 BC. And the city had a splendid open-air theater near the harbor that seated 25,000 people. The Romans took over Ephesus about a century before the birth of Christ, and in Paul's time, the city was a thriving commercial center of over 200,000 people. Ancient tradition holds that the Apostle John moved to Ephesus with the Blessed Virgin Mary, and that they lived there together until the end of her life. It is likely that John wrote his gospel in Ephesus in the last decade of the first century. And in the year 431, the Third Ecumenical Council of the Church was held at Ephesus to refute the heretical teaching of the Patriarch of Constantinople, who held that Mary cannot be called the Theotokos, or God-bearer, but only the Christotokos, or Christ-bearer. The Council of Ephesus teaches that although Mary is God's creature, we must paradoxically call her the Mother of God to avoid separating the divine and human natures of the Lord Jesus, who is both the Son of Mary and God the Son. Near the end of his second missionary journey, St. Paul lived and worked in Ephesus for about 2 years, starting around the year 52. The apostle began his mission among the Jews of Ephesus, but after meeting stiff opposition to his preaching in the synagogue, Paul moved his attention to the Gentile population and planted the first Christian community in that ancient city, which would play such an important part in the life of the church for centuries. Paul's letter to the Ephesians was written from jail and was almost certainly composed in Rome about 2 years before his death. The central theme of Ephesians is the mystery of salvation in Christ, which is made accessible on earth in the church, the body of Christ. Paul teaches in Ephesians that the entire human race is called by the one true God to the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, and even more, that we are called to divine filiation, that is, to adoption by God as sons in the Son, without respect to any human distinctions, Jew or Greek, male or female, slave or free, as Paul will put it in his letter to the Galatians. Our second lesson today is verses 3 to 14 of chapter 1 of Ephesians. And in the Greek text, all 11 of these verses constitute one very long, intricate sentence. Many of Paul's letters contain a prayer of thanks or blessing after the greeting, and Ephesians follows this pattern, but at much greater length and complexity than usual. Paul likely borrowed parts of this passage from the most ancient Christian liturgical texts, especially hymns, and the words come spilling out of his pen in an effort to say everything at once. But while God the Father can say everything in one eternal word, we need many words to sing the glory of the incarnate word, and that is what Paul does here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Notice, in Christ we were chosen, elected by God the Father from before the creation of the universe, so that we would be holy and blameless before him. The word here rendered as blameless is in Latin, immaculate, without stain. Paul continues, in love, He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. Again, the plan for our salvation is eternal. God is not improvising after the fall. And the purpose of God's will always included the taking of flesh by the eternal Word, so that he could share his divine nature with us by the union of his human nature with us. And the motive for this grace is love, not power or control or domination, love. Paul goes on, in him, that is in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and on earth. Friends, we need forgiveness because we have trespassed, transgressed. We have gone where we have no right to go. We have taken what we have no right to take. We have done what we have no right to do. We have sinned, all of us, and our disordered self-love separates us from God, from others, and from our own true selves. But through Christ's blood, we have been redeemed from the grave. And by the riches of God's grace and wisdom, we now know the mystery of God's will, through the revelation of the Father's eternal plan of salvation for the universe, a plan to unite all things in Christ. Paul explains, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. Here, Paul teaches that because we have been adopted by God through our union with his Son, we are now also heirs to the kingdom of heaven. We have obtained an inheritance, and this was always God's plan for the human race, beginning with the Jews, those who were the first to hope in the Christ. In him you also, Paul continues, meaning us Gentiles, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Being sealed with the Holy Spirit happens at baptism and is completed at confirmation or chrismation, when we are marked with the holy chrism, which makes us like Christ and is a sign of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance in Christ, and who teaches, strengthens, and comforts us as we seek to receive the gospel of salvation in the obedience of faith. In these 11 verses of Ephesians, we see the Holy Trinity at work for the salvation of the world. God the Father has an eternal plan for the human race before the universe is made from nothing, out of love. God the Son completes the revelation or publication of that eternal plan of salvation by his life, death, and resurrection, out of love. And God the Holy Spirit acts in history to unite those who trust in Christ Jesus to the spiritual blessings of his atoning death on the cross and to the glorious grace of his resurrection, and thus to impart the forgiveness of our sins to the praise of God's glory, out of love. And all of this is given to the world through word and sacrament. The word of God eternal is God the Son. The word of God incarnate is the Lord Jesus. And the word of God written is Holy Scripture. And we are placed in communion with the word of God by the sacraments of the new and everlasting covenant. The Lord Jesus himself, in his human nature, is the primordial mystery or sacrament of salvation. His church is the next mystery or sacrament of salvation because it is his body. And finally, the seven sacred rituals given by Christ to his church are the mysteries or sacraments that are the ordinary instruments of grace by which we hear the gospel of salvation, receive it with saving faith, and are made the children of God by adoption and heirs of an eternal inheritance of glory. This is the plan promised by God the Father, completed by God the Son, and guaranteed by God the Holy Spirit. Out of love,